You're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Do by way of your generosity in Jesus' name. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 133. A very well-known passage of Scripture, Psalms 133. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured down on the head, running down on the bed, running down on Aaron's bed, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." I remember learning the song as a kid in Sunday school. And I remember learning this song, and it was just, you know, we used to sing it, and it was such a beautiful song. And as I learned that song as a kid, I always thought that the whole, I guess, focus and the whole emphasis on that song was unity. You know, how blessed are the brethren when they dwell together in unity. For wherever there is unity, God commands the blessing. And I always thought that the focus was on unity, that unity was the point. And whilst unity is the focus, the point is far bigger. The point is far more important. And the title of my message, if you're making notes, I'd love for you to write this down. And I know writing things down or typing things into your little device or phone just helps those words. When you write it on a piece of paper, it helps to write it on your heart and write it in your mind, write it in your spirit. So if you're making notes, write this down. If you're not making notes, write this down. The title of this message is "Keep the Oil Flowing." Keep the oil flowing. See, unity is important, but that's not what's most important. What's most important is the oil. That the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that the precious oil of the Lord pours on the head, running down the bed, running down on Aaron's bed, down to the collar or to the edge of the garment. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the power of God. The oil represents an anointing. So when you pour oil from upon Moses' head all the way down, what's happening is that you are setting it apart for God. The Jesus Christ, the word Christ is not Jesus' surname, but the word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing. I want you to understand that the point of this whole passage of Scripture is not just about unity for unity's sake, but it's about unity for the sake of the oil. It's all about the oil. So in other words, the unity is not just about the togetherness. Unity is about the flow. Unity is not about the talent, but unity is about the anointing. And the Bible tells us that the anointing flows from the head to the edge of the garment. See, when it comes to our church, we don't just need anointing on the head or on the leader. We need the anointing oil of the Lord on every part of the garment. And every person who's a part of the church, every person who's part of the body of Christ has a part to play. And what we need is we need for the oil, the presence and the power of God, not just to rest on the head, but to flow all the way through, to touch every part of the garment and get to the very edge. In other words, we don't need just the preacher to be able to pray for healing. We need every person to be able to pray for healing. We don't need just the gifted ones or the talented ones or the spiritual ones or whatever. I mean, that the truth is that doesn't exist in the economy of God, because God values us all the same. There's no one person more important than the other. God values us all the same. Jesus loves all the little children, all the children of the world. So what we need then is we need for the oil to flow in every part. And how do we make sure that the oil flows? By keeping the unity. So unity is not just about being on the same page. It's about ensuring the anointing continues to flow. We got to keep the oil flowing. See, and that's why the enemy always comes against unity. If he can bring division, If it can bring unforgiveness, if he can bring any obstacle to unity, then he's going to try to do it. Because if he can divide, he can rule. But wherever there is unity, God commands blessing. Certainly for me and my family, and even you know, amongst our staff and team, we have a high distolerance, if that's a word, for disunity. We don't allow any places for any disunity. Because if God commands blessing and unity, then you can imagine the things that happen in disunity. We need oil to flow all the way through. And at the core of unity is commitment. See, unity doesn't come from agreement. See, I'm married to my wife and we are in unity, but that doesn't mean we always have the same opinion or agree on the same things. We agree to disagree. So agreement is not the source of unity. Commitment is. So we may not agree on certain things, but that doesn't change my commitment to my wife. I am committed to her because we are in unity. Commitment is greater than agreement. Commitment pulls you back to the table. Disagreement might pull you away from it, but commitment pulls you back. And so unity, therefore, is a choice. It's a decision. Unity is a weapon of mass acceleration. Wherever you find a company of people who are doing great things, what you will find at the core of that is unity. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, it says that a company of people were gathered in this place called Babel. And as they gathered together, they began to look to the skies and they began to say to themselves, let us build ourselves a tower all the way to heaven. And then God looked down and he got their attention. Such was their unity. He got their attention. And when he looked down upon them, and they weren't trying to build something for God. They were actually trying to build something for themselves. And sometimes people are like that. Sometimes we can say it's for God, but really it's for ourselves. And so then God looked down and he said, wow, if there's one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do that. And their motive was not good. He says these words, then nothing they do will be impossible for them. In other words, where there's unity, you can do great things, even if it's not the right things. But can you imagine a company of people who are gathered around God's purpose, who are gathered around God's plan, who are gathered around God's will? Can you imagine what that company of people united together could do for the kingdom of God? You are responsible for ensuring the unity, because wherever there is unity, there the oil flows. There are three things that I want to give you when it comes to ensuring unity, when it comes to ensuring that the oil keeps flowing. Number one, unite around principles, not preferences. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus said these words, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. In other words, he was saying, Lord, it's not about what I want. It's not about my desire. It's not about my preference. Lord, it's about your word. It's about your principles. It's about what you have called me to do. See, principles build foundations, but preferences build isolation. See, hospitality is a principle, but the type of cake is the preference. If we focus on the type of cake, then we lose the point. We find isolation. So principles build foundation. We are committed to unite around principles, not preferences. Right now, I'm so grateful that we still get to have church online and still get to be forward at home. But my preference is that we're all together in the room. I miss everyone. Last Sunday, we had a drive-by party. And it was so wonderful to see all of our church family just driving past the house. And we observed all the social distancing rules. And we made sure that we used wisdom and we stuck to the guidelines. But it was just so wonderful to see everybody. And I missed everyone. I couldn't believe it. And then we all missed everybody and we couldn't, like, it was like we stood in this gigantic park, you know, 40, 50 of us in this big, massive circle. So we could see each other, but we couldn't touch each other. We couldn't hear each other without yelling at each other. My preference is that we're all together and I'm looking forward to the day when we actually do physically get to meet together. That's my preference. But you're not united around our preferences. We're united around our principles. We're united around the principle that the building is not the church. The people are. That that we may not be able to meet physically, but we can meet digitally. We're united around the principle of seeing lost people found. We're united around the principle of worshiping Jesus together, getting the praise and getting the presence of God into our hearts and homes and lives, and then gathering under God's word. We're united to that as a principle. So we unite around principles, not preferences. We have a saying here at Forward Church. We say we marry the message, not the method. The method can change, but the message never will. Hey, the way we preach the gospel clearly has changed, but the message and the gospel has never changed. It's timeless. It's eternal. It's unchanging. It's unwavering. The second thing is that we unite around relationships and not roles. We unite around relationships and not roles. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, he said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. He said, can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And they said, we can. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or sit on my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. In other words, he's saying, hey, listen, it's not about roles. It's not about position. It's about a relationship with your Father and doing the will of the Father, that wherever he positions me, there I will be. See, who we are is more important than what we do. When we build our lives and unite around relationships, then as roles change, we remain family, because relationships create family. But when we unite around roles and those roles change, then we see identity crisis. I mean, right now, we're in the middle of a role change for our Logan campus. Right now, Pastor Emily has been doing such an outstanding job with Alan, leading our Logan campus. There's been a role change. In fact, just today, so now Pastor AJ and Bronnie are now the Logan campus pastors. They have a new role. With Pastor Emily, she's going to be taking a mini sabbatical, and she's going to come back into a new role. She's got a new role, but she doesn't have an identity crisis. Why? Because we are not uniting around a role. We are uniting around a relationship. The relationship does not change, but the roles change all the time. We're committed to being on the bus. Just sometimes the seat has to change, but we're all on the bus in Jesus' name. And the third thing is that we unite around the future. We don't unite around the past. You know, this nostalgia. Oh, the good old days. Oh, I remember how it used to be. Oh, I remember how we used to do it. I remember those things that we used to do. I remember all those things. And those things are wonderful. And those things should be celebrated. And those things should be honored. But we shouldn't unite around the past. We must unite around the future. Hey, I'm grateful for everything that God has done. And I'm grateful for all of those that God has blessed me in my life. I'm grateful for all of the things that I've learned from the people that God brought around me and into my life. But I'm grateful now that we get to use that as a platform, as a launching pad into what God is doing in the future. We don't unite around the past, we unite around the future. We build our energy around the future. We keep directing our energy towards where we are going. Only 4 weeks ago, when the COVID-19 pandemic was announced, and everything changed for all of us. And one fell swoop, church doors closed. And one fell swoop, social gatherings were minimized. And one fell swoop, we were no longer able to meet physically in person as a church. Well, imagine if we united around the past. Well, that's just the way we've always done it. And that's the way we're always going to do it. If we'd thought that way, then we would not have been able to reach more people. And we would not have been able to see more lives impacted by the power of the gospel. But instead, what we decided to do, and we had to do it like so many others around the world had to do, was that we united around the future. Okay, what do we need to do now to be able to bring the life-giving message of Jesus to, number one, to our church family, and then number two, to beyond that, to those who are yet to be part of our family? And so then as a team, we invested as a team. We had to learn as a team. We had to pivot. And I'm so grateful for an incredible team and church that has been able to pivot so well. And so we're uniting around our future. So right now, last weekend was the biggest weekend service that we've ever had, ever in the history of the church. We were able to reach more people than we've ever been able to reach and we would ever have been able to reach within the four walls of a building. Now we've gone outside of the walls of the building. We've gone literally, you know, all over the world. And even right now, there are people who are watching from Fiji, from Hawaii, from America, from Europe, New Zealand, all across Australia. Right now, because we're uniting around the future, we're able to impact more people for Jesus. And I want to encourage you. Our goal as we come through this is not to go back to what we were. Our goal is to unite around who we will become. Our goal is to unite around the future. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, a very famous passage of scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Let me just declare that over some people watching today. That God's plans for you and He has a plan for you. Aren't you glad then when your plan, my plan didn't go the way that we planned, that God still had a plan? God's plan for your life never changed. God's plan for your life is to prosper you, not to harm you. It's to bless you, not to hurt you. Plans to give you hope, not despair, not anxiety, but plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. That God is not looking to take you back into your past, but God is looking to take you forward into a bright and glorious future. As we unite around the future, we keep the oil flowing. I want you to know that right now, we're able to see more lives change. Right now, we're hearing story after story of people's lives that have been impacted. Your family, your friends, your loved ones, as you've been inviting and sharing, we're hearing story after story. What's happening is that the oil is flowing. Why is that? Because we're uniting around the future. And my friend, if you're watching and you...
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.